listeners, you are listening to another episode of That's On Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me from the top of the contiguous United States, live from Hampton, Maine, it's my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, how are you today?
I'm good. Happy post-Oscars.
Are you feeling that post-Oscars glow?
Yes. I've wanted to wish everyone that all week. Although now it feels like it was so long ago that it was on. It's only, what, 4 nights ago? It feels longer.
Yeah, we're recording this on Thursday. Yeah, well,
yeah.
And I feel like there's always, I feel like the Monday, right, the day after, I'm still thinking about the Oscars all day. And then maybe on Tuesday, I'm thinking about it half the day. And then by Wednesday, I'm still kind of thinking about it. But yeah, I guess by this point, by 4 days later, that's around the time that it's not at the top of my mind anymore, which is kind of inconvenient for us because we're to talk about it.
That's why it's a good thing I wrote some things down or I would forget. So,
well, I wonder if it's also funny this year because we're so used to it being in February. It's where it has been in the past 15 years or so. It used to be March.
Yeah. And do you know it used to be on a Monday night?
I do recall that. Yeah. I'm not sure. Was it that way in my lifetime at all? Or
I don't know. I'm not sure when they switched to Sunday, but we always watched it on a Monday night. I thought, boy, that's weird on a weeknight. But so they finally changed it.
Those Hollywood elites not knowing what the real working person has to put up with on Monday.
So, yeah, this is definitely late, but I don't know. Maybe next year I'll probably go back to, well, we'll see.
They have a date set in February. So.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah, so it's set for February 27th, 2022. So we'll see if they stick to that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's another pandemic on top of the current one. I imagine they already have plans for nomination dates and other pre-events ahead of the Oscars. So, So usually on That's Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three F's, first, favorite, and forever. And we've covered the Oscars before, so this episode is just a mini episode about the most recent Oscars ceremony, the 93rd ever Academy Awards. And since we've covered the Oscars before in a full episode, we've actually covered it twice, once last year, and then again on our most recent episode, the Oscar do-over episode, you can kind of consider this a bonus, you know, kind of even more forever, as an extension of our other Oscar episodes, kind of what we did with the Emmys. We did a whole full Emmy episode, then we did a mini reaction episode to the most recent show. But yeah, since Aunt Beth and I love talking about the Oscars every year, we figured we'd jump on quick to commiserate about our favorite moments about the show. So why don't we go ahead and just jump right into that?
Okay.
So I think we promised ourselves that as a mini episode, this wouldn't be too long. We didn't want to exhaust ourselves. So we won't have too much preamble. So yeah, I said, gave ourselves the question, like, what were our favorite acceptance speeches or comedy moments or outfits or whatever. So Aunt Beth, what were your favorite moments?
Well, I enjoyed the show. I thought it moved along smoothly. I read some things later that people didn't think it was very good, but I had no issues.
There were some unusual production decisions that I think we'll have to make sure we cover.
Oh, okay. It was interesting that they let the winners speak as long as they wanted. I thought that was interesting. And I thought Regina King did a nice kind of introduction as the first presenter. But I'd have to say my favorite moment, if I pick the top, is three words. West Side Story.
Oh.
Was when Rita Moreno came out. She's 89 years old. She looks
pretty
fabulous.
Good.
And just what did she said something about I should have written it down about the winning all the awards, but alluded to the best award being the one that she won because she won best supporting actress.
Yes.
How many years ago? 60 or 70?
I think exactly 60. Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. But, and then they showed up and then the clip from the new movie, which got me excited because I've had differing feelings about it since it is my all-time favorite movie. And I always think, why do they have to redo it? But the scenes looked really good. So that got me excited. So that was probably my top favorite moment. Do you want to do yours and then we'll go back and
yeah, forth? I guess, yeah, we can go back and forth. So okay. We don't want either of us to hog the mic too much, I suppose.
That's right. We're not hogs.
Yeah. Well, I was not surprised who gave my favorite acceptance speech because I thought she had been giving very amusing acceptance speeches all awards season long, and I expected her to win, and that was the supporting actress winner, Yeo Jung-yoon. She made sure to be very complimentary to her presenter. It was last year's supporting actor winner, Brad Pitt, and she said, she started off her speech, she said, "Oh, Mr. Pitt, finally we meet." And then she also talked about how the entire reason she's an actor is because her sons told her that she needed to go out and work, and she did this to take care of them. She's like, "Here, finally, mommy did this for you." So she was just, I'm glad that she is a known entity in America now. I think she's had a very long career in Korea, but I'm glad we get to know her now because she has a very sharp wit and a very disarming charm to her.
And that's funny because that's also on my list about her. Her acceptance speech, and I didn't see the movie like you did, which I'm really looking forward to seeing her in that, but she was just so charming. So that was my second choice. Mm-hmm. So we both picked, I was wondering if we'd have any of the same thing choices. So that was quick for that one. Now you can go on to, that would have been my second one. So now we'll go on to your second one.
Well, I guess I'll mention a couple other speeches that really caught my ear. I liked Emerald Fennell. Well, I also liked I appreciated the fact that she was pregnant during the ceremony, still is pregnant with her second child. And a fun fact, she was pregnant with her first child while directing Promising Young Woman. So,
they said she was like 7 months pregnant by the...
Yeah,
because that was a quick shoot, right? So
I think 23 days was the figure I heard. So I guess they finished shooting that like a year and a half ago. So now here she is
pregnant.
Pretty far along again.
Yeah.
And she thanked Zach Morris during her speech. She said she practiced when she was younger, she wrote like a practice Oscar speech, like, if I ever win an Oscar, this is what I'll do. And she's like, if I had read that speech, I would have thanked Zach Morris, the main character of Saved by the Bell. But now she's like, now I guess she was like, I did it on my own. I don't need to thank Zach Morris anymore. Mm-hmm. And the other speech that I really enjoyed, less for comedy and just more for the emotion of it all, was the documentary feature winners, the directors of My Octopus Teacher, Pippa Ehrlich and Craig Foster. I just thought they were very filled with gratitude. Their hearts were bursting. And I mean, the movie is just, it's a very emotional movie. It's about this guy's love affair with an octopus.
I know, it's so good though.
It won people over.
Yeah, I know, you wouldn't think of it. I wouldn't think it would be something I would want to watch. And it just drew you right in. So good.
Actually, I think it wasn't the Craig Foster who gave the speech. I think there's actually three directors listed. No, Craig Foster was the star. The other director was James Reed, I think. So it was James Reed and Pippa Ehrlich, I believe, who gave the speech.
Okay. Yeah. People need to, it's fascinating. People need to make sure they watch it.
Yes. Available on Netflix. Like a lot of the nominees and winners this year were.
I wrote down one of the speeches that I really liked, even though I didn't love the movie, for the international feature, Another Round, the director, mm-hmm. and I don't have his name. I didn't write his name down.
Almas Vinterberg.
Okay. And I don't even have any specific things. I just remember feeling like it was a really heartfelt speech that he gave. I always like those when people seem like they're so appreciative and so touched, and just makes me feel good mm-hmm. to know they love, you know, that they love what they're doing. And because we hope they do as you know, pop culture enthusiasts, you want to think that these people in this business are semi-decent people enjoying what they're doing. And so he seemed very, very happy about his win. Did you end up seeing that?
Another Round. Yeah, I watched that. I made sure to watch all the Best Picture, Best Director, and Acting nominees before the ceremony.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get to see Minari or Father, but I think I saw The Father. I think I saw the others. So
I think you'll like both of those.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. My last note was to say, well, I tried to count. I looked up your predictions, and it seems like, not to be negative, but it seems like you didn't get as many as usual just because there were a few surprises that I thought.
Yeah, there were some surprises, not too many shockers, I'd say, but
that's a good way to put it. Maybe not a shocker, but I was surprised. Even for Frances McDormand to win, because she didn't win in either Golden Globe or SAG.
That one, I thought that was the toughest of the acting categories to predict, because Andra Day had won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Viola Davis had won the SAG. Frances had won the BAFTA. So she had won something. And Carey Mulligan had won the Critics' Choice Award. All of the major precursors were won by someone different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it really legitimately could be any one of them.
Yeah. And then the actor, I thought Chadwick was going to win.
That was definitely the most high profile shocker.
Yeah. And in a way, I thought his role was more of a supporting role, though. Anyway, I was surprised through all these award seasons that he was nominated for Best Actor, because to me, it didn't feel like a lead performance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an interesting one. Then, you know, Daniel Kaluuya won for supporting actor in a role that was arguably a lead. But I think with Chadwick, the reason he ended up in lead is because, you know, he wasn't competing with Viola Davis. When it comes to awards considerations, if you've got potentially two leads, if they're the same gender, you might want to push one of them as supporting so they don't have to compete with each other. But if they're different genders, it doesn't matter. They're not going to be competing with each other anyway, if the awards show separates the categories by gender. And I think the other thing is Chadwick was also in Five Bloods, which he was getting some Oscar buzz for. And that performance was definitely supporting. And the acting rules say you can't be nominated in the same category twice in one year. Mm-hmm. And be nominated for lead and supporting for different movies. So there was some speculation.
Was he nominated for
No, but he was getting buzz for it. So there had been speculation that he might be up for
that.
So that's why the Ma Rainey team would have wanted to position him as a lead, so that he wouldn't have to compete with himself.
Yes. Okay. And then I guess the other one I was surprised was the adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
The Father.
That one I was having trouble with too, but I was kind of going back.
I was trying to remember what else was that nominated that we were thinking was, because I'm trying to think what I thought was
going to win. I didn't. The other nominees were Borat, Nomadland, One Night in Miami, and The White Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Any of those. Well, I did see The White Tiger a long time ago, though. But yeah, any of those other ones could have won. So
I thought it was going to come down to, I think in the predictions I showed you, I had predicted Nomadland because that was the best picture favorite. So the best picture winner also usually often wins one of the screenplay categories. So this is kind of the default favorite. But then between when I sent you my predictions and Sunday, I changed my prediction to Borat, which had won the Writers Guild Award for adapted screenplay. And I'm like, I mean, is this really wacky comedy? Could that possibly win an Oscar? And
I know.
I kept going back and forth, but The Father was just this late breaking favorite that I feel like a lot of voters saw it close to the end of the voting period. I think that was a worthy winner. So
yeah, otherwise I didn't have. Oh, the one complaint I had, the In Memoriam. I felt like it was so fast.
It was kind of fast.
For some reason, why? I couldn't even read half the names. Yeah. I was like, what the heck are they doing? It's never been like that before. I wonder if they started feeling like they were running out of time or something.
Well, there were 2 months more, 2 months more than usual of people passing away.
Wow, it was flying by. I'm like, wait, I can't stop. Yeah, that's about it for my wrap up.
Okay. Did you have any thoughts on the fashion at all?
Not a lot. I liked Zendaya's dress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember somebody else. I should have been watching that more closely and I didn't. I know there were a couple others that I thought were really pretty, but that just fit her perfectly. I mean, fit her personality. She's young and vibrant and she just looks so good in that. Did you have any that you
liked? There were some that caught my eye. I liked Emerald Fennell's. She had a very flowy dress, very, a mix of like spring colors.
Yeah, I can picture hers.
And I liked Amanda Seyfried's red dress. It kind of looked like she had seashells covering her breasts.
Okay.
And
interesting.
My choice for best dressed overall might have been the two directors of the live action short winner, Two Distant Strangers. They had a black and gold ensemble. They were coordinated with each other.
Oh.
Let's see, their names are Trayvon Free and Martin Desmond Rowe.
Two men?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look at that.
All right. So overall, what did you think of the ceremony? The awards were really spread out. Nomadland won Best Picture and the most awards overall with 3. And then there were 6 movies that won 2 each. So,
I did think that it really was spread out, which I kind of like because I like different movies to get recognized. I was glad. I felt bad. The Trial of Chicago 7 didn't end up getting anything.
Right. That was the only Best Picture nominee that didn't win anything.
Yeah. So I always feel bad when they don't get anything. I'm not sure what their reasoning was for this too, but they really switched up the order.
Yes, they did very much so.
Yeah, very much. They usually save the biggies for the end, the actor, actress, director, picture. They did do actor and actress last, but they stuck the other ones way up, director. All of a sudden I'm like, oh, they're doing director already?
Yeah, director, so. I think looks like it was the 7th. So that just a third of the way through the show, they're getting to what's usually one of the last 3 or 4 awards.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, why. They must have thought, wanted to try something different.
Well, yeah, so the producing trio was Jesse Collins, Stacey Scherer, and Steven Soderbergh. They had been talking about how they were going to mix things up, and they certainly did. Okay. I mean, not just mixing the categories up, they also, they moved the best song performances to the pre-show, and they really didn't do any montages, and they let the speeches be longer than usual, which I think is typical of like a Steven Soderbergh movie. You'll have dialogue that can go on and on.
Yeah. So maybe it didn't run too much after 11. So it probably, even with the longer speeches, it was definitely shorter than usual. It depends what you're looking for when you watch. People always complain, oh, it's too long. So if you just want to hear the, you know, who wins, maybe people might have liked this more. But if you're looking for more entertainment, you know, like an opening number and those montages and stuff, then this might not have been what you enjoy. But I still like, you know, I like seeing the people, and I just like seeing everyone get their award.
Right. Well, I mean, I was like, I don't like that the there's fewer montages. I always love them. It's just montages. Mm-hmm. And when they were announcing the nominations, there were like only a couple of categories where they actually showed clips from the movies. But I did like what they did do. I enjoyed, like, in some of the acting categories, they're like, when this actor was growing up, she loved this movie, and that's what inspired her to become an actor. And it was like, you know, when Amanda Seyfried, she loved the Romeo and Juliet Leonardo DiCaprio version.
Yeah.
You know, so it was fun to learn about the nominees that way. But I'm like, I think they could have done that and also had montages.
Yeah, I did. They didn't show, like, give you much detail about the Best Picture nominees. That's true. And I do like when they, is it the Oscars that always do that, where they usually, because I know I'm confusing with the Golden Globes, but they always have someone come out and introduce the nominee, and then they show a clip from it.
Yeah, I think they've both done that in the past.
So they didn't, but who knows?
I think there was an interview on Variety with someone who had worked on the show, and he did admit that the reason they decided to have actor last was because they were expecting Chadwick Boseman to win.
Oh.
And it could have ended with a nice tribute to him.
Yeah.
Then,
I didn't like how it ended because Anthony Hopkins wasn't even there. That's right. No. I remember thinking, it was like, okay, we accept on your behalf. Good night.
Right.
Like, oh.
I mean, if Anthony Hopkins had been there, it could have been a nice ending. You know, it would have been like, oh, here's a surprise. I wasn't expecting this, but, you know, at least would have, you know, it would have been something. But yeah, they should have had a contingency plan, because they knew going in that, they must have known going in that Anthony Hopkins wasn't attending.
Yeah.
Like, they had that theater in London set up, so like some of the nominees were there, but I'm sure they had to. There was a very real possibility that the winner of the last award of the night wasn't going to be there. So, like, I think they needed a plan, like something conclusive to do.
Yeah.
In the place of an acceptance speech.
Mm-hmm. I just thought of that now when you said that. I remember feeling a little let down. All right, on to next year. We'll be we'll be back again reviewing movies from this year.
Have you seen any yet that you think deserve to be nominated?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm still catching up on those, so I don't think I've seen anything new. What have you seen that's like brand new?
Well, I saw Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar with Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo.
Was that good?
That's a hoot.
Okay.
And the last movie they wrote together was nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
For Bridesmaids.
Yeah. Right? Although I'm not sure. I don't know if this will be eligible. It might have been eligible for this year's Oscars because it came out in February. So.
Oh, okay.
But we'll see. It'll be an abbreviated Oscar season, but I'm sure we'll have all the movies that have been delayed that were supposed to come out last year and will hopefully come out this year. Hopefully. Like West Side Story, hopefully.
Yes. I hope so. Okay.
Yeah. So
what do we have coming up?
I believe next week we're going to be doing our favorite pop culture dogs of all time. Mm-hmm. I've been on our Twitter asking some people some of our listeners who their favorite pop culture dogs are. So I think we'll mention some of those, but Aunt Beth and I are going to reveal our top tens of our favorite pooches on the big screens and the small screens and that have just inspired so much puppy love in us. And so if you haven't already and you want to let us know who your favorite pop culture dogs are, you could email us at that's entertainmentpodcast@gmail.com or let us know on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Or if you know us in real life, you could text us or call us.
Okay.
And if you'd like to leave us a review, you can always do that by heading to ratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. Beth, anything to promote or anything to recommend that you can enjoy with your aunt or nephew?
Oh, I didn't think about it for this one. I just started the new season of Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
Because I was excited about that. And something you could really watch with your aunt or nephew is... if you are into nature, I'm watching the David Attenborough Living in Color. Wow. Okay. That's really good. That's on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's only three or four episodes, so you can zip through it. And it's amazing. It's basically about how animals use color. So it's different than, a lot of their other shows. And it's how they sometimes they use it for for defense, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. So it's amazing to watch it. It's quite interesting.
Nice. What was that called again?
I don't know if it's Living in Color, something in color. I think it's Living in Color. I'm not 100% sure. I don't have my phone here.
This
came out.
I'm on my computer so I can... Okay.
I know I looked up I just got a list of a bunch of new things coming out, but I don't have that with me. If you look up David Attenborough, it would have
Life in Color.
Yes, Life in Color. I was close. So yes, I definitely recommend that. And I'm watching This Is a Robbery, which is interesting too. That's about a art heist in Boston in 1990. And I didn't know much about it at all, so finding out some good stuff about that.
Okay. Well, I'll mention something that I think could definitely be enjoyed with aunts and nephews or any family gathering. It's the Disney Plus show Big Shot, which stars John Stamos as a basketball coach.
Oh yes, I want to watch that. Okay, is it? It's good.
I've enjoyed it so far. Yeah,
good.
It's created by David E. Kelly. John Stamos was a really successful men's college basketball player, but he's he threw too many chairs onto the court. He's got a bad temper, so he gets fired. He has to take a job at a girls' high school. And they're going to find their way into his heart. Yvette Nicole Brown plays the principal.
Oh.
And I've watched the first two episodes have come out at the time of this recording, and I've enjoyed them both so far.
Oh, good. Yeah, I will definitely watch that. I forgot about that one. Okay.
I guess it's time to make the music and say goodnight.
Say what is goodnight, everybody.
And keep your remote sandy and your eyes open.